I'm a believer of Jesus Christ who has victory over alcohol but still struggle with some self-centeredness and perfectionism. As a result of growing up as an adult child in a family environment and in everyday dealing with control issues, my name is Rick. I was born in Monrovia, California, to two very hard-working parents. I'm the oldest of seven children, four sisters and two brothers. My dad worked in the retail lumber business, working 10 to 12 hours a day. My mom worked either as a waitress or later was a school bus driver. Neither of them had a high school diploma, with my mom only going through the ninth grade. They were very loving to us kids, and we never went without. My parents worked very hard through the day, and to relax at night, they would drink, which affected our lives at home. Family fights were the norm. Due to long hours that my dad worked, I was not able to receive a fatherly interaction with my dad. He would come home from work, drink, go to bed, get up the next day, work hard, and then we'd start all over again. My mom took every job she could to support us. Her time was limited as well with the family. I remember living in small homes due to the rent being so high, which meant us kids always had to share rooms. Many times we only had a two-room house, so my sisters had to share a room with me. Secondly, I remember we were always having to move due to not having enough money for rent. Very early in my life, us kids could not be left at home. Either after work, my mom would pick up my dad, and they would stop by the bars. There were four of us kids at that time. We'd sit in the car outside waiting for them to have a couple before they went home. It seemed like hours. When I got older, about 9 or 10, I was left home with my sisters and brothers to watch them. I was responsible to feed them, put them to bed. I guess that's where I got my control issues. I vowed I would never live that kind of life when I grew up. These were normal for me. I remember when I was about 8 years old attending a church, and it was a Southern Baptist church. Then one day we stopped. There was no church. Later I found that our family was asked to leave due to my parents' lifestyle. My mom at the time was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was the choir director. We were going to church what seemed like every day, and then all of a sudden we were out. With the trauma of losing my church family, I convinced myself that church was very judgmental and vowed that I would never attend church again. I dodged God for 33 years before coming back. Sue and I dated in our senior year in high school. She's a stable person, having an older sister and younger brother. Her dad and mom worked for the state and lived in a great house. I strived so hard to have the same things. Her parents didn't drink like mine did, and they were a fun family, no fighting. They'd have big social events, and everybody would get along. You know, kind of like the Cleavers and Father's Knows Best on TV. For those that are old enough like I am, know what that show was. While we were dating, I was a terrible boyfriend. I didn't understand commitment. I was very self-centered and believed everything had to be about me and what I wanted. I kept myself busy with my agenda and was not concerned about anyone else. One example was we attended our senior prom together. She looked so beautiful that night. We had a great time. After the prom was over, I took home and went out with somebody else who I had recently met at school. Sue didn't know about it until after we married. My feeling was we were enjoying each other, and then I had a chance to have more time, and as time was limited, I took advantage of it. I really didn't care about others. It was all about me and my needs. Toward the end of our senior year, I decided to break up with Sue just before we graduated. I had plans to join the Navy and leave our hometown and see the world. Boot camp and a new assignment to the ship would begin at the end of the summer. I didn't want to have any ties at home while I was gone. I wanted to be free from commitments and do what I wanted to do. Again, it was all about my happiness. My parents hosted a going away party for me and my 18-year birthday. Sue had been involved with some of that preparation, and she was heartbroken. I didn't understand why she was so upset. I was leaving the area and felt this was the best way for all. I was chalking up the bad points. We graduated the next week, and our class went to grad night. Since Sue and I had broke up a week earlier, I decided to take someone else. Again, I didn't know that was bad. I'd found someone else to go with. Sue was very upset, and I was garbage again. What I didn't know was a higher power was looking over me. God knew better. He knew my future and had plans for me down the road. If only God could have written me a note, maybe I would not have hurt people early on my journey. I graduated from boot camp in November in Southern California and got orders to a ship home ported in Northern California. Sue contacted me throughout the next few years through letters and phone calls. She was such a giving soul, and I was clueless why she would do this. I had let her down so many times. On watch one night, Sue and I were talking on the phone about the future and how it could be if we ever got married. We had had many of these conversations on the topic, and finally she had had it. She asked, when was when? I had not thought about it much, so I finally said, how about late October? No proposal, just a date. That gave her family 13 weeks to plan a wedding. Again, as always, it wasn't my problem. I was getting married. Sue and I married in October 1974, 2 years into my active duty time in the Bay Area. We married in Riverside, California, by Sue's Assembly of God pastor in a rented Southern Baptist church on the hottest day in October. I was still not a Christian, and the conversation of counseling never came up. By what I know now, two young people unequally yoked, there is no way this should have worked. Well, God had a plan for us. It gets worse. The next morning, Sue and I, along with my best friend from the ship, headed to Hayward, California. The three of us shared our place together for 5 months. We didn't have two nickels to our name. I had removed Sue from her established job, her church family, and her close friends. It was so bad. For Christmas that year, we did not have a tree. Dave went out and got a small, decrepit tree, kind of like the Peanuts cartoon type, and brought it home. I remember Sue was crying for joy. In January, the ship received orders to Vietnam. 3 months later, I left for Asia. Sue moved back home because we didn't have enough money. In July of that year, we received orders to China Lake, California, in the Mojave Desert. It was 140 miles from our families in Riverside. Life was great. I was home, had the opportunity to live the life of freedom. I was involved in sports, work, anything I wanted. Again, it was all about me. As we began living together, Sue and I were so different. We didn't get along very well. This is where my taste of alcohol really thrived. In the next 3 years, our daughter Celeste and our son Aaron were born. I continued to do my own thing. It was about me and my fun. I was drinking heavily at this time. We were in the desert, and there was nothing better than to have a cold beer after a hard day at work or playing sports or whatever. We spent 4 years on active duty, discharging in 1979. Joining the ranks of civilian life was very tough. We had two very young babies and very little to our names. I decided to join the Naval Reserves and get a little money for each month. As time went on, it became apparent that Sue and the kids did not fit my lifestyle, and we began to have marital issues. I didn't want to be tied down, nowhere to turn, and no friends that wanted to get involved. We split up 3 times in the next 5 years. It was easy. I could walk away, party, get drunk, fall asleep, and everything was fine when I woke up. I never missed a job assignment, never got in trouble. Lucky there were several people along my path that kept kicking me back into play. My lowest point, 1996, I had a heart attack while performing my biannual physical fitness test for the reserves. I was rushed to the hospital by a friend. I was pretty scared going to the hospital. When I got there and got me in the ICU room, the doctor informed me that I had a complete blockage in my right artery. I didn't understand what that was all about when that occurred, but he said he was going to explode it. When that occurred, I felt real dizzy, so dizzy that I believed I was going to die. I actually remember saying to Sue that I loved her and told her goodbye. She stated later that my blood pressure had got down in the 30s and 40s and my pulse down to 10 beats per minute. Once the blockage was clear with oxygen flowing to my heart, the left coronary artery was repaired by medicine. I needed to go to this big cardiology hospital, which I transferred by ambulance about 140 miles away. I stayed in the hospital for a week in intensive care. Sue was housed for over a week as well. The total bill was over $45,000. Sue and I worked for the government. Even with our insurance, the bill would have killed us. The Navy paid for everything. Again, had a plan for me. Again, God had a plan for me, and I didn't know what it was. As I was going through all this, I had spoken to God, promising him that I'd do whatever he wished if he can get me out of the mess I'd got myself into. I had been drinking about a fifth of vodka every other night at this time. Again, I passed all my tests, completed all tasks assigned. Nobody knew what I was doing behind the scenes except Sue and the kids. When I spoke to God about help getting me out of this problem that I was in, he made it very clear. He wanted me to get back in church with fellow believers that walked in his image, to become a fully devoted believer. I thought, here it goes, that spiritual thing. Sue and I had a friend that attended a small church, and she felt that we should go and see what it was all about. I reminded her I didn't want to go anywhere that I had to bow down to any rules or be put in a position to be judged as my parents were when they got kicked out of church. Mother's Day 1996, we attended our first church, a Crossroads Community Church in Ridgecrest, California. The pastor was somebody from my past. He was a former Marine officer that I had served with in active duty in 1976. He had gone through the same real issues with the same things that I had been. His background was in alcohol, and he had wasted 33 years of his life before coming back to the Lord. Funny, it had been 33 years since I had been in the Lord's house. I had found home for me. The church played real music that I could understand. The preaching was for healing, not for scolding. Over time, I worked very hard to serve that church. I knew that drinking like I had been doing for the past 25 years was not acceptable in for my future. Better yet, God had a bigger plan. It gave me the chance to give back and keep me from wanting to drink more. I thought I lost some words. I felt that if I worked hard enough that God would forgive me for what I had done. Again, I didn't know God's plan for me. This is where I began wearing a huge mask. At church, at work, or sports outside the home, I was great. I was sober. I was engaged in life. At home, I was a complete different person. As a poor husband and father, consuming 2 to 3 boxes of wine per week. I justified the wine because if you read in the Bible, it says you can drink wine. Didn't talk about boxes of wine, though. That lasted for the next 6 years. I never hurt anyone. I never got in trouble with the law. Not one DUI in all the time that I drank in my life. Well, actually, I should have gone to jail on 2 incidences. The second time was the toughest because the officer made me call Sue. She had to come get me and take me home and my friend at 2:30 in the morning. Jail would have been better that night. I was destroying myself, my family, and God. I was the man attempting to be a good Christian, but still messing up my life. 2001, I decided to get baptized. What a feeling, jumping out of that water. Letting everyone know that I was born-again Christian, but behind the scenes, I still wore a mask. I continued being drunk in my private life. I gave God my life, not knowing he was going to fill it up so quickly, wanting me to give him my will as well. During this time, Sue and I served as leaders of a group called Tech Arts at Crossroads, running the music and graphics for Sunday services. There's this new recovery group beginning to meet on Friday nights, serving dinner, playing music, providing recovery lessons and fellowship, and sharing groups. They asked me if I could assist them with a new program each Friday. The group was called Celebrate Recovery. I said, sure, I'd love to help. I didn't have any problems, at least none that they knew about. I would stay, work through the large group, and go home and start drinking before going to sleep. Again, I didn't get it. I served the group for over 1.5 years, loved the program, but never attended the full program. I didn't have any problems this group could be able to help me with. I liked what I was doing, but God had another plan coming down the road. 2002, Sue and I purchased a home on the Oregon coast in Walport. Our plans were to visit when the Navy would give us time off. We were not sure why Walport, but we knew without a shadow of doubt it was meant for us to be there. 2004, we received the best gift ever. We were given an opportunity to retire from our jobs with civil service. Additionally, they gave me an added $25,000 severance package. My supervisor spoke to me about a month before retiring, stating several higher people in the department asked why it was approved and no one could answer it. How it was even possible. Must have been a coincidence, huh? Sue and I retired in June, and I stayed in Ridgecrest to finish working. Still drinking every night about the same consumption, but feeling worse for wear. Having my wine was important each night, but the wine just didn't taste that good anymore. I was overweight and just not feeling well. I had planned when I retired to continue refereeing football and basketball up here in Oregon, and being over 260 pounds, felt it would not be able to happen at the level I had been working. I retired in August and went back to Walport. After a couple of weeks living in Oregon, enjoying the life of retirement, we continued to search for our new church, but none fit our style. We'd seen a beautiful church and grounds when we came in 2002, but I decided we would never be able to attend there. It was a Southern Baptist church. After several weeks of frustration, early in September, God had it with me and said, if you like that church, go visit. So we went to the service. What a blessing. And we found our church home was real with real friends from First Baptist Church of Walport. We were members for 9 years there. God had such a sense of humor. As for drinking, it was time for me to speak to God. I spoke about what I wanted in my future. We both confirmed what he already knew, that I had continued to screw up my life, kept drinking and not gaining any ground. So I asked him, if you can bail me out of this one more time. God had removed me several times from my addiction. I kept returning. He had given me an awesome family, allowing me to prosper, even though I didn't follow his commands, giving me a career in the Navy, starting as an enlisted and retiring as an officer, a great job with no expectation for education, working at the highest level of management, great experiences in officiating for many years. It was apparent that I was an alcoholic, that there was no way for me to stop without the help of God, and that my life had become unmanageable. On September 12, 2004 night, I got down on my knees and broke down. I needed to stop drinking and clean up my act, or it would be impossible to serve with our new church, along with Sue and our new neighbors. I went to bed that night and prayed for God's help just one more time. I knew that I could not do the work alone. I had already failed 3 times at the task. That night, I drank my last glass of anything. Woo! In our journey, God gave me the vision and the tools to be in the correct place, and Sue and I to help start Celebrate Recovery in September 2005. We began with 9 people. We're supported by 6 different denominational churches that come together for the hurting. Today, Celebrate Recovery has had the opportunity to open the doors to CR Walport to over 875 different people who seek something different for the serving. I ask for forgiveness for one big reason, that I have my joy restored. In 1 John verses 1, 8 through 10, we read, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." 2013, I was asked to serve as a state representative for Celebrate Recovery. It's knocked me over. My prayers are to serve people in their walk of recovery, and here I was being asked, me, a person with hurts, habits, hang-ups. I accepted and was selected as the Coastal Oregon State Rep, representing Astoria to Brookings, east to Sutherland and Winston. In February 2014, after a 4-year quest of praying continuously, God put on my heart to reach those who are incarcerated and bring the news of Celebrate Recovery to them inside. Through prayer, Celebrate Recovery Inside opened their doors in May of that year at the Lincoln County Jail in Newport, Oregon. I serve alongside 9 awesome leaders, male and female, bringing the program of CR to 25 men and 15 women each Wednesday night. The ladies bring to the women. To top it off, it's a huge blessing when our fellow brothers and sisters from inside come out and join us at our meetings after released. Make sure I'm here. I got one page out of order. 2015, I was asked to take a higher leader's role to be one of the new team leader positions for Celebrate Recovery Western Region. Again, wow. Presently, I serve with 11 awesome men and women in my area of responsibility, serving from Northern California at Chico and Fortuna all the way to the Vancouver, Washington, reaching the many persons on the road to recovery on their journey. I'm blessed to have had so many second chances to where I am today, from the young lady that I met in the quad at John North High School Riverside and dumping her at the door as I went in the Navy, and her not giving up on me, to my telephone proposal and separating 3 times and her not giving up on me, to my drinking that I continued for 32 years of my life, to the many second and third chances I received being involved with my children who have grown to be awesome, to my 3 grandchildren that are the best any man can have. Sue and I are living a special life together now since I have given my life and will over to the care of God, as stated in step 3. Sue continues to pray all along I would become a man of God that she wanted when we married in 1974. I am blessed to say that this October we'll celebrate 43 years of marriage and 45 years of being best friends. Woo. I stand in front of you today stating how grateful that I am that she and her God stuck with me to continue on this journey together. I look forward to every day to see what our God has planned for that day, and I can't wait to be with him when he calls me home. Thanks for letting me share.